Chapter 11. The next day, Lexi was happy to drive herself to work in her VW. No more bumming rides. She had her car back, and they'd even detailed the inside and put one of those new car smell air fresheners in. It wasn't as good as the real new car smell, but it had been so long since Lexi actually had a new car, she barely noticed the difference. She ignored the slight bucking at the stoplight and the whirring sound coming from the engine as she pulled into the alley behind the bakery. They'd replaced a lot of things in the car, so strange sounds were probably normal, right? The morning was a little slow, and Lexi handled the usual rush of morning commute customers who wanted to grab a coffee and pastry before work with ease. She stocked up the self-serve coffee area and mixed up some cake batter and baked 3 pans of cake for a triple-decker birthday cake someone had ordered. When things slowed down, she took off her yellow gingham apron and hung it on the rack. "I'm heading over to Nan's for a bit," Lexi said to Cassie. "Will you be okay here by yourself for a few hours?" "Yes, I'll be fine," Cassie said. "We haven't had any customers in an hour. I'll probably go in the back and begin working on the list of items to make for tomorrow. I can pop out front if someone comes in." "Okay." Lexi finished tying a bow in the pink and white striped twine binding the box of fresh almond scones she'd packed. Given his penchant for them the other day, she thought they were Herman Conti's favorites, and she didn't want to disappoint, especially today, when they hoped to grill him for information. "I'll see you later, then."
"See ya,"
Cassie waved as Lexi headed out into the bright afternoon sunshine. The warm air, full of the scent of freshly mown grass, felt refreshing on her skin. She stopped at her car to unlock the doors and smiled at the low burble of the waterfall nearby. Last night had gone a long way toward easing her fears about her marriage and Jack. After their tiff after dinner, they'd seemed much more in sync again. Enough so that he'd even given his half-hearted assent to her meeting with the ladies, which was good, because from what Nance had said at her condo yesterday, they had no intention of not investigating the murder of Sherman Wilson. She climbed behind the wheel of the bug and started the engine. It still wheezed and sputtered a bit, but it was better than before, and the traffic was light this mid-afternoon. Within 5 minutes, she was knocking on Nan's door. "Finally, you're here," her grandmother said, answering. "Ida's been waiting for the pastry." Lexi followed Nan's into the condo, finding Ruth, Ida, and Helen seated at Nan's mahogany table. Each lady had a dainty porcelain cup nestled in its matching saucer on the table in front of them. "Oh, she's here." Ida darted up from her seat and ran to Lexi, lifting the corner of the pastry box from the side to peek in without disturbing the twine tying it shut. "Those are for Herman," Ruth admonished her, smacking her hand away. "At least wait until we are at his house."
"Well, he can't eat the whole box."
Ida dispensed with politeness completely then and opened the box, grabbing the largest of the scones.
"See, there's plenty here for everyone, even your precious Herman."
As Ida scarfed down the scone and the others took their teacups into the kitchen, Nan said,
"We're almost ready to go, dear, but we need to discuss how we are going to get Herman to talk."
"I think our best bet is for Ruth to charm him,"
Helen said as she carefully dried a dainty teacup with tiny cornflower blue flowers around the rim.
"Yeah," Ida agreed. "Maybe you should go alone, Ruth. That way you can put the moves on him. He'll be more eager to spill his guts if you persuade him the right way."
Ida waggled her brows, "if you know what I mean."
"That might not be a good idea," Nance cautioned. "Herman knew Nunzio, and Nunzio even warned Ruth about him. What if that warning had nothing to do with jealousy? What if Herman is one of Nunzio's associates? Herman could be on the list. He could even be the killer."
"That's ridiculous," Ruth said.
Herman and Nunzio hated each other. They wouldn't have been associates.
I don't know, Nance, Lexi agreed. Herman seems awfully nice.
Of course he is. I'm sure Nunzio was just jealous,
Helen said.
Herman Conti couldn't hurt a flea.
But I think we should all go and talk to him.
We wouldn't want Ruth to have all the fun. And besides, it's better if all of us hear what he has to say. Each one of us might have a different take on it.
Okay, then, what are we waiting for?
Ida brushed past them on her way to the door.
Lexi, you can fill us in on anything you learned from Jack on the way out.
As Nance locked up, Lexi brought them up to speed on what Jack told her the night before.
Oh, and they have the charm for your bracelet, Ruth.
Ruth's hand flew to her naked wrist, her brow furrowed.
My bracelet?
Maybe it came off when the clasp broke, Ida suggested. That's how you found the body, remember?
Of course I remember, Ruth said, her expression odd. One doesn't forget such an awful sight, Ida.
Lexi followed the ladies through the hall, into the elevator, and out to the parking lot. They hustled over to Lexi's VW Bug, walking right past Ruth's car.
You got the olds from the storage place already? Maybe we should take that instead.
She pointed at the large blue vehicle. There'd be a lot more room.
Can't, Helen said. The door panels are still off inside.
We didn't have time to put it all back together, and Stan said we had to get it out of the storage bay. So we drove it like it was, Ruth said. It wasn't a comfortable ride.
Oh. Lexi turned to peer into the car. The ladies were right. The interior of the Olds was a mess, after all the ladies digging through it, plus the police investigation. It would take some serious detailing to get it back into shape again.
That's strange, Nan said, scowling. I would have sworn we'd laid those door panels on the back seat, but now they're on the floor.
Do you think someone was in there rifling around? Lexi asked as they all piled into her VW. The Bug wasn't really built to accommodate all those people, but the ladies were used to creatively squeezing themselves into all sorts of tight places, and they somehow managed to fit Ruth, Ida, and Helen into the back seat, with Nance riding shotgun. Lexi buckled her seatbelt and started the engine, her cheeks heating when the VW backfired loudly as they headed out of the parking lot. Ruth scooted in her seat a bit, jostling Ida, who gave her an annoyed stare.
Doesn't matter anyway. If someone else was looking for something in the Olds, they won't find anything.
Ouch, Helen said, shooting Ida a scowl. You kicked me.
Sorry, Ida shrugged and grinned. It's tight back here.
Take a left, Ruth commanded. Next right, then all the way to the end.
Lexi followed her directions, and soon they were parked before a majestic-looking old Victorian-style home. Herman answered the door, his eyes lighting up when they fell on Ruth, then darkening when he saw that she had company.
I didn't realize you were all coming.
I needed Lexi to drive me, and then the others just tagged along.
Ruth breezed into the foyer, and Lexi and the other ladies followed.
Oh, that's right. Your car is out of commission,
Herman said as he closed the door.
It must still be impounded by the police.
I got it back, but it's not exactly drivable.
Ruth took the bakery box from Lexi.
We brought some scones. Should we go in the kitchen?
Certainly.
Herman half bowed and indicated for them to proceed down a hallway with golden oak wood that smelled like lemons, and into an airy kitchen that boasted Paris blue cabinets, slate flooring, and a long pine trestle table. If nothing else, Herman had good taste and a lot of money, considering the expensive furniture and antiques, not to mention the Waterford crystal platter he was transferring the scones onto. They sat down at the table, and Lexi dipped her tea bag into the steaming water in her cup. She picked a scone up off the tray and nibbled, while Herman complimented each of the ladies in turn.
Ruth's outfit, Nan's hair, Helen's shoes, Ida's complexion. He was quite the ladies' man. The police don't seem to be making much headway on the murder investigation, Nan said out of the blue. Herman's cup rattled as he placed it a little too forcefully in the saucer.
That's a shame. Nasty business. I hate to think of a killer running loose.
He turned to Ruth.
Would you like another scone?
Ruth's brows mashed together as she looked at her plate, where she still had 3/4 of her scone left.
No thanks. Anyone for more tea?
Herman got up to heat more water. Lexi stretched. She didn't want more tea, and this conversation seemed to be going nowhere. Herman hadn't taken the bait about the murder, and now Nance and Ruth were giving each other raised eyebrow looks and head jerks as they silently tried to tell each other to continue questioning.
So, were you good friends with Nunzio Bartoli?
Nance blurted out.
Ruth dated him, you know.
Herman's brow furrowed. The tea kettle whistled, and he turned around, shutting off the burner and grabbing the kettle.
I knew him peripherally. I wouldn't say we were friends.
Herman came back to the table with the teapot and started pouring. No more tea for me. Lexi put her hand over her cup. You have beautiful antiques here.
Herman's face brightened. Thank you. Been collecting for years. Have a look around.
Lexi made her way into the dining room beside the kitchen. The room was painted a lovely, muted blue, which complemented the gold and cobalt oriental rug that sat under the oak oval clawfoot table. On one wall was an oak china cabinet to match, the sides boasting curved glass doors that looked to be the original wavy glass. Inside, a display of crystal vases sparkled. The wall opposite the china cabinet was covered in old photographs displayed in lavish gilt frames. Studying the pictures, Lexi found herself enchanted by the views of her beloved Brook Ridge Falls in earlier times. Most of the faces she didn't recognize, but a few looked familiar. She squinted and leaned in closer to inspect the photo in front of her. It showed some kind of club in the background, and a group of men in suits near the front. They all looked to be in their mid-20s, and were all smiling and laughing, their arms around each other's shoulders.
These shots are really interesting.
Yes, they bring back a lot of memories.
Ruth peered at the same photo as Lexi, frowning. She spun away fast, obviously flustered, and made a show of checking her watch.
Oh, look at the time. I forgot all about my hair appointment today, and I need to leave immediately or miss it entirely.
Confused, Lexi followed Ruth into the kitchen, where Ruth grabbed Ida by the elbow and explained to Nance and Herman about the hair appointment.
I'm so sorry.
Ruth patted at the top of her head, but I simply cannot miss the appointment.
But you can't leave yet. You just got here.
Herman said, his tone disappointed.
I didn't even have a chance to invite you to the early bird dinner at the Mill House, Ruth.
I'm sorry, Ruth said, packing up a scone and stuffing it in her purse. I'll have to get back to you on that, Herman.
Ruth swept them all toward the front door. As they bid hasty goodbyes to Herman, Ruth broke from the crowd and made a beeline for the car.
What in the world was that all about?
Nance asked as she and Lexi got into the front seats.
Not sure. We were looking at old photos in the dining room, and Ruth suddenly panicked, and
I did not panic,
Ruth said from the back seat where she was already sitting with her hands clenched.
I was shocked, that's all.
That photo we were looking at, Lexi.
She glanced back toward Herman's house. I recognized the location. It was Nunzio's old headquarters in Cold Springs, and Herman was there with that group of men. I'm afraid he is involved with organized crime.
Seriously?
Ida gaped as she wedged her way into the middle of the back seat. I don't know, Lexi said, starting up the car. He seems like such a sweet old man.
Hmm,
I'm sure Al Capone would have seemed sweet, too, had he lived to a ripe old age, Nan said, snorting.
It was kind of odd the way he mentioned Ruth's vehicle today, Helen said. Perhaps he wasn't so concerned about courting Ruth all this time and was looking for something else instead.
Do you think it might have been Herman who was poking around inside the Olds?
Could be, Ruth said. He knew I was out yesterday morning.
Maybe he is the killer, Ida suggested.
More research. That's what we need. Nance twisted around to look at the back seat. Helen?
Lexi glanced in the rear view to see Helen pulling an iPad out of her oversized patent leather purse.
I'm on it, Helen said.
The car was filled with the sound of clacking keys.
Looks like we have a hit.
An old newspaper article, Ruth said.
Says here that he and Nunzio were linked to a liquor store robbery back when they were teenagers. Of course, that was 65 years ago, but it shows he was into crime with Nunzio.
He could be one of the guys on Nunzio's list.
And if he knew Ruth was out yesterday, that gave him opportunity to search her Olds, Helen said.
Does anyone know where he was when Wilson was killed? Nance asked.
They all shook their heads.
Did he know you stored the Olds at Stan's, Ruth?
Ida asked.
I'm not sure, Ruth said. He might have had motive. He certainly has means because, even though he's old, it wouldn't be too hard to kill someone by jamming a drill into their pacemaker. And he might have had opportunity.
Ida's eyes sparkled.
Looks like we better tell Jack.